Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Hi, we're doing a show now.
Is this our new intro from now on?
I guess.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
That really sucks. Hi, I'm Carrie.
Hi, I'm Luke. And it's not so much that we don't want to do Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. I think it's more like we don't want to do anything. Is that a safe way to sum up how you and I feel right now?
I want to do the podcast.
Okay. See,
fuck you and you're not wanting to entertain people immediately.
I don't not want to do the podcast. I just have had so much stuff going on with me lately that I just feel like being a vegetable or going and seeing a bunch of movies and just, you know, disconnecting for a while. But
yeah.
Anyway, hi, this is episode 41 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, May 17th, 2011.
That means next time it's episode 42.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh wait, that's Doctor Who.
Watched an episode of Doctor Who recently.
Which one?
It was some Tom Baker episode, something about Egypt, Mars, something.
Hmm.
It was really corny, but I really like... Tom Baker is the doctor. He's pretty cool. He's kind of hot.
He's the one with the celery, right?
He's the one with the scarf.
Oh, okay.
I thought then you would know not... that.
Well, that's the thing. My first exposure to Doctor Who was the made-for-TV Fox movie with the Eighth Doctor that came out in, like, 1992 or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't get... any Doctor Who exposure until Chris Eccleston showed up and they had the new show.
Well, so yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not exactly, you know, a Doctor Who expert, but I thought everybody knew that Tom Baker was the scarf guy.
It's somewhere in my head I thought I knew that, but I just... My brain defaulted to Celery Guy just because of the... special film they made with David Tennant, and also because of the opening ceremony sketch at MarsCon.
Oh.
So.
Anyways.
What's
new in your life, Luke?
Well, I heard the new Beastie Boys album, and it was all right.
Not great?
It's like, they have a good lead single with an awesome video, but every other song on the album sounds, like, exactly the same. Not that that's... I mean, of all the groups that are out there, you know, Beastie Boys have a pretty good, you know, average for quality of their music. So it's like, I listen to the album, and I've listened to it all the way through once. I haven't had a chance to go through it a second time yet. But, like, nothing really jumped out at me. Like, back in the old days, like, each Beastie Boys album, you know, there'd be at least, you know, three or four songs that would jump out as like, oh, I really like those songs. And
didn't I pick up the last one for you? I went to Target and got it for you.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And even that album had a few songs that jumped out at me. But this one, so far, I don't want to say it's a bad album because it's a decent album, but it's just not, you know... Other than Make Some Noise, nothing's really jumping out at me yet. I'll have to give it another listen or two, and maybe I'll change my mind about some of those tracks.
Yeah.
Then I also got the new Lonely Island album, which is an awesome collection of some of their biggest hits from Saturday Night Live and you know, things that have gone viral.
I got that album, too.
Cool.
It's not as good as their first album, but it's still pretty good.
Yes, I agree with that assessment. In fact... One of the songs we also have no idea what songs are playing in this episode because
we probably can't play Lonely Island.
Well, I would like to play a Lonely Island track that isn't on that album or their previous one, but it is on the internet and stuff.
Okay, maybe.
So yeah, so that song might get played.
Okay.
I highly recommend Lonely Island's Turtleneck and Chain album. It's very funny. Go check it out. Buy it. I did caricatures at two different post-prom events over the past two weekends, and those were interesting. The first one was in Lake Geneva at Timber Ridge Lodge, a place where I actually went to draw caricatures at, attempting to go there on Sunday mornings to make money, and it was basically a huge waste of my time. So I ended up stopping going there after about two or three weeks of giving it a shot. But, you know, the post-prom, I was getting paid, you know, by the hour to be there, at least in theory I was. I still haven't gotten the check in the mail yet from the company that hired me out to do it. So,
Awesome.
You know, but that's just the way that company works. It's like, you know, money is money. So if the check hasn't shown up by Monday, I'll call them. But they normally take about 2 weeks to pay.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, that was all right. Then I did one in Galena, Illinois, which I didn't realize at the time I booked it, but then I looked the map and realized, oh, excuse me, that's about 15 miles away from Dubuque. So yeah. I had to, like, you know, basically take Highway 20 all the way across Illinois to get almost to the Mississippi River to go to this little country clubby secret lodge place where they had this post-prom, and I drew a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I have more stories about that later on in the quote-unquote ignorance stories. Not that they're all necessarily ignorant, but that's the part of the podcast where I talk about those things.
Okay.
But they gave me a room for the night so that I could, like, draw and then go to bed and then get up and drive back out so that we could go do other cool things.
Okay.
Mother's Day, I went to visit my mom, and me and Amy and JT and Susan and Sarah all had lunch with her at Sue Wings, a Chinese place in Geneva.
We're, like, you know, trading off on yawning right now.
So,
it's contagious.
Yep. So that was nice. Me and Carrie met up with Matt Doohan and all of our respective spouses and had a nifty dinner at Sweet Baby Ray's Barbecue, and we also discussed the next Mystery Spatula Theater 11 episode that we're going to start working on, because, damn it, we all live near each other now, so why the hell aren't we working on things now that it's incredibly convenient? So we're going to...
Man, it was my first triple date I think I've ever been on.
Yes, because we all live in the suburbs, and we're all married.
Married suburban couples.
Yes. We're going to go out for a great date night to the barbecue place over in Wooddale.
That's what we did.
Anyway, I read a nifty book.
Okay.
If Carrie is interested to find out what kind of deep philosophical thoughts this book brought forth from my brain, go to the Bad Rapport Gmail account and look under the thread of emails that has the subject line thoughts.
Okay.
Because I needed a place to store my thoughts, so I just started emailing them. So,
okay. Won't do that. I don't remember the password anyway.
Okay.
I've had four text messages in the last 5 minutes.
You're popular. And there's one other thing.
My pocket is buzzing.
One other thing is... I got a kitty!
Kitty!
Sarah, a week ago Saturday, was at Petco looking around, and a kitty literally reached out from the cage and grabbed her and says, "Hey, pay attention to me!" So she paid attention to that kitty for a while and then said, "You gotta come meet this kitty." Her name was Ariel. And so we met Ariel, and she was very sleepy the couple of times I went to visit her at Petco. We also went to a couple other pet rescue places, one of which only had two cats. Because they... Well, it's out there. And then another place had like 100 cats, and there were some nice cats there. There was a cat there named Coco, who was very, very cute.
Hi, Ariel.
Speaking of which... So...
She's asking to come in. Hey, sweetie.
So she, So we went back over to Petco, and we hung out and played with Ariel a bit, and I just decided, you know what? I really like this kitty. So we want to bring her home.
Hey.
And right now I'm holding her, and I'm petting her, because she loves
right next
cuddles
to the
and
mic.
Attention.
But since she's probably not going to talk to you, you don't really get to meet her, because this is not really a audio thing.
But she's a year old.
She's so tiny and adorable.
We're probably going to rename her something else because they, you know, at the rescue places, they have to name them for the veterinary people's sake, you know. And not that I dislike the name Ariel, but...
It just doesn't seem to suit her.
She's a very rambunctious kitty, and she likes to play, and she...
She's not bred.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or
she's
form.
She's a tabby.
She's a black and brown and whitish tabby.
Yeah, but she's very cute and adorable, and right now Snowshoe's a bit grumpy because Snowshoe's space is being invaded by this little kitty. But Snowshoe...
Aww.
Ariel makes me very happy, so that's the biggest thing. Well, the biggest thing I'm willing to talk about from the past 2 weeks is Ariel. So, anyway, what's going on in your life, Carrie?
Well, I have a kitty. We took Buffy outside by putting a harness on her and then a leash and then carrying her outside, and it was very interesting because she had never been allowed to explore the outdoors, like, since we got her. You know, she used to be an outdoor cat, but, you know, for the last, you know, 5 years, she has not been an outdoor cat. She has been an indoor cat. I'm experimenting with trying to say less, but I have to actually actively think about it so that I will say it less. Also, I was part of the Fump cast just for the hell of it, not because I actually had a song. I am, in theory, working on a song, though. I watched Star Trek, the 2009 movie, again for the second time, which in my world means that I've watched it for the first time, because I don't retain anything that I've only seen once. And I probably don't retain memory of anyone I've only met once, or anything I've ever only been to once. I have a hard time with once, so got to see that. It's pretty good. Sorry, Bill, but I liked it. See, there I go again. I went to Petco in Schaumburg and met some exotic pets. I really liked the, salamander. I can't remember what it was called, a big old thing named Ivy. I really enjoyed petting that, but hi. Hi, Ariel. Hi, soon to not be named Ariel Kitty. But they also had a snake there at Petco that I got to hold, and I put that photo up on the interwebs, and I got a lot of attention. It was just a python. They said it didn't bite. They said it didn't even hardly have teeth, so... I had to have somebody take a picture of me. because I am talking, Ariel will not leave me alone right now. I had to have someone take a picture of me so that I could prove to Josh that I was brave enough. Because we also have, like, a snake that's in our yard. It's a garter snake we named Stanley. And more on the naming stuff later. But Stanley was actually out by the mailbox yesterday, and I almost stepped on him, so I was startled. Let's see. I have this story I already told you, but I'll try to do the quick version. I went to Mary's widower, Felix's house, because he had a jewelry box he wanted to give me that contained jewelry that belonged to Mary that he felt that she would want me to have. So I went over there, got the jewelry box, got a bunch of brooches and a couple watches and stuff that are in there. And there was one ring in there, and I didn't say anything to Felix, who is blind, and probably would have said, oh, yeah, I didn't realize there was a ring in there, you better give me that. You know, I just decided not to say anything, because Felix is not a nice person. Hi. Ariel jumped up on my lap. This is going to be the Ariel Distraction Podcast. So, hi. So, I got the jewelry box outside. I took the ring out. I put it on my finger. And that's the point at which I noticed it was a pink ring. It's yellow gold with pink like cubic zirconian stones on there. And Mary didn't wear pink. She was known for wearing all black, even more so than what I'm known for wearing pink. So it was almost like Mary had given me a present, like, from beyond the grave. It was really, it was cool and awesome and creepy all at the same time. Mwah. Mwah. I went to see Thor and thoroughly enjoyed it. And what's his face that stars in it is like the new Brad Pitt.
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. Oh, oh my God.
This is now the Chris Hemsworth Distraction Podcast. Look out the window by the tree. There's Chris Hemsworth nibbling on grass.
We already mentioned Sweet Baby Ray's. I went to my first ever high tea on Saturday because Jesse Wright was having her bridal shower there, and I was invited since her wedding is in Ohio and I can't make it and I'm not invited anyways. I wanted to definitely go to the bridal shower, so I had to dress. It was at the Drake, which, as you may or may not know, is a very fancy hotel in downtown Chicago. And I had never been inside the Drake. I had assisted somebody in peeing on the corner when I was at a protest in March 20th, 2003. Me and James hid our third friend from view while she literally peed on the corner of the Drake because there was nowhere else for her to go, and she had to go that bad. So other than helping someone to pee on it, I'd never had anything to do with the Drake. But I was there for the bridal shower. The dress code was dressy casual. So I had a nice outfit I had previously bought from Macy's for another thing and was all niced up. And it was very weird because, you know, it's full of people with money and, you know... As I said to someone there, I'm more of an Applebee's girl myself, you know. I don't know if you even know what a high tea is. I had never actually heard of it before.
Well, it's like, you know, one of those British things, right? Or it's like very specific rituals that go with having tea.
Well, it's not really a ritualistic thing, but... It is, it's originated in Britain, and I think it's spread worldwide. It was very weird. You know, we were served, of course, like exotic teas, little finger sandwiches, you know, little homemade scones, and, you know, jam in little fancy little dishes, and like fresh flowers all over the place. There's a big fountain in the middle of the room. Luke is reading Twitter and not listening to me.
I'm listening to you.
There's a harpist there. They always have a harpist at the Drake's High Tees, apparently. And she was wearing a very fancy sequined red outfit that I tried three times to snap a photo of, and my Android wouldn't cooperate, so I had to give up. And it was very strange. And at the time, I didn't think that much of it. I'm like, well, folks is folks. You know, I can hobnob with rich people. I can hobnob with poor people. You know, I can hobnob with whoever, I guess. But then later I heard on the Wait, Don't Tell Me podcast that NPR has, they were having a quiz with John Waters and asking him things about high tea, which they assumed he wouldn't know anything about, but actually he did. But he didn't know that the reason high tea was originally actually called low tea was something about high tea is actually for the like lower class workers who need a bigger meal to keep them going. And then it was originally called low tea for the higher class people who just need a light snack because they don't need as much food because they don't work. So when I heard about that, I was kind of disgusted. Also, the fact that they now call it high tea for Americans and stuff so that they will think of it as high class, high tea.
Mm-hmm.
So after I heard about that, I was, you know, in retrospect, kind of like, I hope I never have to go to another high tea. But, you know, it's pretty, I guess.
I prefer high C because it's orangey flavored.
I see. Maybe that's why they named it High C.
Maybe.
I went to, later that night, I went to graduation party at the Nidge, and that was fun. And there was a food there that I really need to see at conventions. They had chocolate chip cookie covered Oreos. Yes, and they were delicious. It actually wasn't chocolate chip. It happened to be like white macadamia nut. But the first time they made it with chocolate chip. And of course, if you made it for convention, you would do it with chocolate chip. So that seemed like the perfect like convention food. Then the next morning, I went back to downtown Chicago to the UIC Pavilion for James's graduation ceremony. And that was a thing that I was at. And I almost thought I was going to get my first Swarm Foursquare badge, but no such luck. Only it maxed out at 30 people checked in. I'm kind of like competing with Dr. Don on Foursquare, I think. I think we're having a friendly competition because I don't know about his friends list, but he's the only one on my friends list who's ever beat me out on points. And that's about... Shall we play our first song?
Yes. And now, here is a song of some kind for listening to.
Music!
I don't know why, but today seems like it's gonna be a great day. There's something in the air that makes me feel like things are gonna go my way. The birds are chirping, tweedledee-deet. The sun is shining bright. There's a skip in my step, a pep in my pep. And I don't know why. Hey there, mailman Fred. Any letters for my ex-wife or the kids?
No.
Fantastic news! Wonderful day makes me feel so happy that my face is numb. My heart is racing along, ba ra ba 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 ba. So many places and people to me now that I've lost my job. They say, young man, the world's your oyster. Hey! Hey, get the f*** off me! No! No!
Just give me a second.
I don't know why, but today seems like it's gonna be a great day. Blah, 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 I should spend more time with my kids. Today's carpe diem, gotta seize the day. I'm gonna move to Spain and run with the bulls. And my wife and boss and kids and parents will say, we were wrong about you, Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
That's my name.
Are you really gonna run with the bulls?
Why would I do that?
Because you said you were gonna.
Come on, man, that was like 3 days ago.
Or was it?
Something today makes me feel fine and fancy free. Much of the ocean is still unexplored. How did I get up in this tree? Now I'm over here, now I'm over there. Now I'm under this dude, now I'm back in the tree. Now I'm hanging out backstage with my very best friends, Alec Baldwin and Tom Petty.
Out of here.
What?
Now.
Tom?
Why would they diss me? I thought they were my homies. Any problem is solvable. We can't feed the hungry and cure disease. But all of that would be a huge waste of time because we live in the Matrix.
What is wrong with him?
He's on drugs.
Oh.
So this is probably going to be a short episode.
That's okay. Those are allowed to exist.
So do you want to expound upon this next bullet point that you said I should put on the thing?
Yes, I am going to share embarrassing couple-related stories with the podcast for the sake of entertainment.
Yay!
So you can have a little insight on the life of Carrie and Josh. You already know, of course, we have our cats, Buffy and Willow, and you've probably already heard about my insulin pump, which is named Squirty, but you knew that. You knew that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Don't tell me. Bullshit. You just forgot. It's been named Squirty, like, since I first got it. So Squirty is my insulin pump. Buffy and Willow are my cats. Josh and Carrie are the, you know, married couple in question here, but...
Well, and even though you didn't specifically name it, you did anthropomorphize Lawrence Avenue.
Yes. Lately, Josh and I have taken to name... having a personalized name for everything. It kind of started with Squirty because we had a name for my insulin pump, but we didn't have a name for my CGM. The continuous glucose monitor little seashell thingy that sits on me all day, too. So we finally, since the CGM is so inaccurate and crappy most of the time, we decided to give it the name Hank, because that sounded like a name of someone who would be, you know, incompetent and dumb. And after
Don't
a while...
Don't let Henry Rollins hear you say that.
Oh, why?
Because Hank is kind of a short for Henry type of name.
Oh, okay.
Like some people will call him Hank Rollins sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I can see your point.
So I finally had a name for my insulin pump and my CGM, but every time I needed to go test my blood sugar, I just had to get my glucometer, and I didn't have a name for my blood sugar meter. So finally that got named Claude because... Mm. My names are kind of random, but it was not entirely random. It was named after Claudia the Vampire from Interview with the Vampire, but I wanted it to be male, so it was Claude instead of Claudia. So I never say I need to test my blood sugar anymore. I say I need to consult with Claude. And I constantly am saying that. So, moving on, of course, we named the garter snake Stanley, and then I met another garter snake out in the nearby park, and I named him, I can't remember his name now. It was something similar to Stanley. But he doesn't live with us, so he doesn't count. I named the house that we live in, actually, Josh named the car Lucy, so our car's name is Lucy. The house's name is Blue Bro. Luke is entirely unentertained.
Blue Bro?
Yeah.
For the house?
Yeah.
Is the house blue?
No.
Why are we calling it Blue Bro then?
Because I can. What else? I know there's definitely more than just that. Oh, we started naming our cell phones. So... My cell phone got named first since I drop my Android all the time, and I'm surprised it's still functioning. It got named Oopsie. And Josh's cell phone is named Chuckles, just because we wanted to name something Chuckles. And
man, I can't wait for you two to get pregnant and have to figure out what to name your kid.
Since we now share the same Android charger, since Josh fucking lost his... We named it Priceless. And I got a new stuffed penguin pillow that I named Chunkies.
Plural, Chunkies.
Yes. Josh keeps trying to call it Chunky, which pisses me off because it's clearly Chunkies. And
is there an apostrophe in Chunkies? Or is it C-H-U-N-K-I-E-S?
No, there's no apostrophe. And finally, the iPad was named, appropriately, Steve.
Okay.
Steve Jobs.
Oh.
And I think that's all we have names for that I can think of. But I'm sure we'll come up with more names for more things. Because it's fun to do so. And I'm hoping you're entertained by this because it was quite embarrassing.
I probably mentioned this on the podcast before, but... Since my car is from 1989, I was naming it Humpty, because that's the year the Humpty Dance came out.
Okay.
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But, you know, I you didn't know that because I never refer to it as Humpty. I probably should if I intend to stick with that, but... Anyway.
I'm having a consultation with Squirty.
You'll need to keep us up to date on the further naming of things as you name more things.
Yeah. And there was a new Josh song, but I couldn't get him to finish it. What was that?
I have no idea. I didn't do it. It's just me. I'm a kitty.
On Easter, Josh was singing, on top of a crucifix, all covered with nails, I saw my poor savior, and he didn't fucking finish it. And I kept bugging him about it, and he wouldn't finish it.
Yeah.
And that's all we got.
Well, you know, some people are professionals, others not so much.
Well, a Josh song is like a rare gem. Sometimes it's a diamond in the rough.
It's like a fossilized dinosaur turd.
I can't hit you. That's Josh's responsibility. So, Josh, you have permission to punch Luke in the face.
Josh never listens to this show anymore.
No, he doesn't.
So, did we talk about that third bullet point last time? Because I don't think we did.
No, but I really don't want to.
Okay.
I think Josh and Carrie name everything was much more entertaining than that okay. would be.
I'm just, well, here, we'll stop and play another song, and then we'll do News of the Stupid, and I'll ask her during the break what the hell that's all about.
Okay.
There are 5 levels of drinking. 6 if you live in a trailer park. Okay. But never mind that now. We will deal with 5. See if these look familiar. Level 1. Let's say it's 11 o'clock on a weeknight, you had a few beers. You get up to leave because you have work the next day, and one of your friends buys another round.
Yeah. All right.
One of your unemployed friends. But here at level 1, you think to yourself, well, as long as I get 7 hours sleep, I'm cool. Level 2, midnight. Had a few more beers. You've just spent 20 minutes arguing against artificial turf. You get up to leave again, but at level 2, a little devil appears on your shoulder. And now you're thinking, hey, I'm out with my friends. That's important to me. What am I working for anyway? Oh, besides, as long as I get 5 hours sleep, I'm cool. Level 3, 1 in the morning. You've abandoned beer for tequila. You've just spent 20 minutes arguing for artificial turf. And now you're thinking, our waitress is the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. Oh, you have no idea. But see, at level 3, you love the world. You feel so good. On the way to the bathroom, you buy a drink for the stranger at the end of the bar just because you like his face. You get drinking fantasies. You come back, hey, fellas, if we all bought our own bar, we could live together forever. Yeah, but at level 3, that devil's a little bit bigger. And he's buying. And you're thinking, well, oh, come on now. Oh, come on here now. As long as I get 3 hours sleep and a complete change of blood. Ah, I'm cool. Level 4, 2 in the morning. And the devil is bartending.
For last call, you ordered a bottle of rum and a Coke. You are artificial turf. This time on your way to the bathroom, you punch the stranger at the end of the bar just because you don't like his face. And now you're thinking, our busboy is the best-looking man I've ever seen. You and your friends decide to leave right after you get thrown out. And one of you knows an after-hours bar. And here, at level four, you actually think to yourself, well, oh, as long as I'm only going to get a few hours sleep anyway, I might as well stay up all night. Well, that'd be good for me. Yeah. I don't mind going to that board meeting looking like Keith Richards. I'll turn that around, make it work for me. Oh, besides, as long as I get 31 hours sleep tomorrow. Cool. Level five in the morning. After unsuccessfully trying to get your money back at the tattoo parlor, yeah, but I don't know anyone named Ruby. At this point, even the devil is going, I gotta turn in. Oh no, I gotta be in hell at 9. Yeah. Got that brunch with Hitler, I can't miss that. You and your friends wind up across the state line in a bar filled with guys who've been in prison as recently as that morning. You're all drinking some kind of thick blue liquor, usually used to clean combs. A waitress with fresh stitches in her head comes over. You're thinking, someday I'm gonna marry that girl. Suddenly, one of your friends stands up and screams, "We're driving to Florida!" And passes out. Crawl outside for air and you hit the worst part of level five. The sun. You weren't expecting that, were you? You never do. Man, you walk out of a bar in daylight and people are on their way to work or jogging. And they look at you. And they know. And they say, "Who's Ruby?" Look, folks, let's be honest. If you're 19 and you stay up all night, it's a victory. It's like you beat the night. You remember that feeling. And if you're over 30, man, that sun is like God's flashlight. We all say the same prayer then. Say it with me now. I swear I will never do this again. How long? As long as I live. And some of us have that little addition. And this time, I mean it. Thank you. Good night.
And now it's time for
news.
Oh!
created by Debo Spice. Visit DeboSpice.com. Reported by the internet from all over the world. And submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent. Cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate.
Time for another news of the weird.
Full of stupid people. Somewhat.
You're first, Luke.
Okay. Word spread quickly about a Los Angeles gas station selling premium unleaded for $1.10 a gallon, but it wasn't a promotion. The owner says the too-good-to-be-true price was a computer glitch that cost him $21,000. Long lines snaked from the pumps at the Valero station in Wilmington on Sunday. Police were even called in to control traffic. The Torrance Daily Breeze reports that within 4 hours, about 7,000 gallons of premium were pumped at the discounted rate. Station owner Kenny Nguyen says the attendant on duty was busy staffing the convenience store and register. He says a price change didn't take, so the system defaulted to the $1.10 price, a cut of more than $3 a gallon. Nguyen hopes motorists who got the break come back and pay the real price. This is where we'd make a wacky joke of some kind, but considering how easy it is for us to remember when gas prices were normally that low, a mere 10 to 15 years ago, we'll just cross our fingers and hope for similar glitches at pumps all across the country.
Ballpoint pen chewers, take note. The cap in your mouth can obstruct breathing if swallowed. Common sense? Apparently for speakers of French, Spanish, and German. The warning appears only in the English section of the multilingual instructions from the pen manufacturer, according to the creator of the Wacky Warning Labels contest. The pen cap caveat is among five finalists announced Tuesday in the 14th annual contest that calls out silly warning labels and rails against lawsuits it deems frivolous. The lawsuit problem is a uniquely American problem, said Bob Dorigo Jones, who started the contest that's sponsored by the Atlanta-based nonprofit group The Center for America. Its stated mission is to reduce barriers to free enterprise. People in other countries do not sue when they cause an injury to themselves because their systems don't allow it, said Dorigo Jones, a Novi, Michigan-based senior fellow of the center. Other finalists include does not supply oxygen on a dust mask and avoid drowning, remove safety cover from spa when in use on a hot tub cover. A more high-concept warning making the list is this label for a leather handgun holster designed to look like a personal digital assistant. For gun only, not a functional day planner. Another warning on the list tells would-be bicycle riders, the action depicted in this brochure is potentially dangerous. The riders seen are experts or professionals. At least some of the children pictured have training wheels on their bikes, but that's okay, they are professional expert children, unlike amateur unprofessional children like Luke.
Thank you! In Logan, Ohio, tourism officials have displayed the hundreds of pencil sharpeners collected by an Ohio minister who died last summer. The Reverend Paul Johnson had kept his collection in a small shed he called his museum outside his home in Carbon Hill in southeast Ohio. A new home for his more than 3,400 sharpeners was dedicated Friday inside a regional welcome center. The Logan Daily News reports Johnson started collecting after his wife gave him a few pencil sharpeners as a gift in the late 1980s. He kept them organized in categories including cats, Christmas, and Disneyland. The oldest is 105 years old. An Ohio Senate proclamation calls the new display a fitting tribute to Johnson, a World War II veteran. Sadly, attendance has been low. Without Johnson around to keep those pencils sharpened, the public sees the museum as pointless.
In Santa Teresa, New Mexico, it wasn't drugs or human trafficking, but illegal baloney that caught the attention of border agents at a New Mexico port of entry. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers at Santa Teresa seized 385 pounds of the Mexican contraband meat from behind the seat of a pickup that stopped at the port on Friday. It's illegal to bring the bologna across the border because it's made of pork and has the potential to introduce foreign animal diseases into the U.S. pork industry. The 33-year-old Mexican man who was transporting the meat was assessed a $1,000 fine and released. Usually officers see one or two rolls of bologna, not 35 as in this case. Officials say it was the largest bologna bust ever recorded at the Santa Teresa Crossing, that is until they had the first annual National Country Music and Processed Meat Festival, where they made a life-size bologna statue of Dolly Parton.
And finally, a Pennsylvania woman who claimed she was groped by Donald Duck during a visit to the Epcot Center theme park has settled her federal lawsuit against Disney. Court documents indicate April McGolan settled her lawsuit against the entertainment giant last week. She had sued Walt Disney Parks and Resorts last year, claiming a costume park employee grabbed her breast during a May 2008 visit to the Florida park. The Upper Darby woman claimed she had nightmares, digestive problems, and other permanent injuries. She sought more than $50,000 in compensation plus punitive damages. Magalon's attorney didn't return a phone message left Tuesday. A Disney spokeswoman declined to discuss the details of the settlement. Police have made no official statement either, but they did say this was a case of foul play.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Duck!
This has been News of the Stupid. It's a very unenthusiastic duck. Quack.
A very unenthusiastic duck. That's the name of this episode, probably.
Okay.
So, random shit we could maybe talk about. I'm going to pick the second one, which is forensics.
Okay.
Do you know what forensics is in terms of high school life?
Forensics in high school life? No. Yeah.
Why they call it forensics, I'm not exactly sure, but basically it's a fancy schmancy term that basically means like the debate club, but, you know, add dramatic readings to it as well.
Okay.
So it's like there's all kinds of different things you can do in forensics. You can have debates, you can do poetic readings, you can do all kinds of types of individual performances or group performances. I got into it because they had a category that was called solo humorous. And so basically solo humorous meant you had to get up, do an 8-minute piece that was humorous by yourself, and you had to have it, you know, memorized. So I started doing forensics in freshman year of high school, and everybody else was getting all these pieces from these, like, little script books that, you know, their theater teachers or English teachers were distributing. And to my, like, to me, it's once again, it would be, it's like getting into a big semantic conversation over, it's like people getting, arguing over what the difference is between a nerd and a dork and a geek is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, to me, it's like they were performing humor and I wanted to perform comedy. You know what I mean? It's like, to me, humor is something you read in a magazine and inside your own head you think that's an amusing thing, but you don't actually laugh out loud at it. Comedy is something you laugh out loud at.
Okay.
So,
so this podcast would be humorous then?
depending on the episode. This episode is definitely humorous. This is a humor episode, not a comedy episode. Except for the songs, maybe, depending on what they are. Anyway, so I joined it, and here's the thing that really, okay, the first thing I noticed is that, yeah, all these little pieces they're doing really aren't funny, haha funny. They are just, you know, these quaint pieces written by people you never heard of. Once in a while, I would see a girl do a piece by Lily Tomlin. Lily Tomlin used to do this character that was like a homeless woman. And she had this one-woman play called, like, The Search for Intelligent Life in the Universe or something. And this homeless woman is, like, has this, like, weird little conversation with the audience, you know. So sometimes they would do that. And that was, like, okay. Very occasionally I might see someone do, like, a Bill Cosby, you know, very safe kind of piece of, you know, material. But I just kind of felt like this is kind of bull. And the other aspect of this is you were not allowed to write your own material. It was in the rules that you had to use, you had to do somebody else's material.
Okay.
Which really pissed me off as a kid because it's like, I wanted nothing more than to perform my own stand-up and to work at it.
Yeah.
And if I could have been allowed to go and do, you know, these forensics meets, you know, you'd perform your piece 3 times that day for different sets of people. And then they would judge on who got the most points or whatever, and then you'd win trophies or whatever. So if I could have gone, you know, gotten up every Saturday morning, gone and done like 3 different 8-minute sets of me working out new material, even if I didn't win any awards, that would have been so personally rewarding for me. But they wouldn't let me do it. So the first year, freshman year, I came up with this piece that was like way too high concept and you know, probably embarrassingly dorky of me to do, but you know, I was a comedy nerd. I basically did
this. You were 14, so
yeah. So I tried to do this piece where I tried to say, like, in the future, you know, God, I can't remember exactly what the premise was. Basically, the point of it was I wanted to do, like, quick little vignette impersonations of the comedians who were my absolute favorite at the time, mm-hmm. which included, like, Billy Crystal, Robin Williams, Gilbert Gottfried, Martin Short doing Ed Grimley, and, who's the last one? I just had him in my brain. Bobcat Goldthwait. I think those were them. And it was... So I was trying to, like, mash those things together to see if, you know, if that would work. And for, you know, for being a freshman and a beginner at it, you know, I don't... It just kind of made me realize, all right, that was a little bit too brain-melting for the people to understand or the judges to understand. So I better just... some material that I can do that I'm going to be happy with. And right about that time, Richard Jenny, who is one of my favorite comedians of all time, if not my favorite of all time.
Yeah.
He had just done his first Showtime comedy special, a half-hour special called The Boy from New York City. And one of the pieces he did in there was a piece about love songs, about how if you ever break up with a woman, you have to not listen to the radio because they have stations that play love songs, nothing but love songs.
Yeah.
24 gut-wrenching hours a day of love songs. And now, here they are singing You'll Never Get Her Back from the album You Really Blew It This Time, nothing but love songs. And it was this 8-minute piece that was just a killer piece of material. So I started performing that, and I was just slaying audiences with Richard's material. I still really wasn't winning any awards because the judges were all, you know, older adults and stuff who in retrospect probably should have gotten that material even more than the kids did. But I was getting genuine real laughs with this stuff, and it was just epic as hell. So I kind of became... you know, semi-legendary in the solo humorous forensic scene, you know, because of me doing, you know, Richard's bit. So, you know, I got through that year. The second, you know, that year was sophomore year. So junior year, I went back and forth between two pieces. One was called The Five Levels of Drinking by Larry Miller, which some people may have actually heard.
Mm-hmm.
From an HBO one-night stand. The other was George Carlin from his... Playing With Your Head, HBO special, and also it's on one of his albums. I forget which one it's on. Probably Playing With Your Head. A piece that was just called Sports, and it begins with him talking about baseball, football, and basketball, and how, you know, different ways we can improve those sports. And then the second half of the bit is him saying why he considers those three the only sports, listing off a bunch of other sports that don't count, and here's why. So the difficult thing with George's piece, of course, is that I had to change a lot of the, you know, vulgar language into language that I could get away with and not get in trouble for.
Yeah.
So that year, both of those pieces went pretty well. I remember once a woman was one of I don't know where they get the fucking volunteers from for these forensics meets to judge things, but this woman was a nun, and I do the five levels of drinking thing. And the whole point of the five levels of drinking thing is Larry Weaver going through this step by step of, like, the beginning of the night you start like this, and then you have a few drinks, and then you go to level two, and then things get worse, and, like, the night gets progressively worse, and, like, you know, the horrible consequences. Kind of like the movie The Hangover.
Yeah.
So, like, by the end of it, it's like, you know, the person is regretting all of these horrible decisions they made throughout the night of drinking. So it's really an anti-drinking piece. So this nun...
And you weren't a drinker anyway.
And I wasn't a drinker anyway. I had no intention of drinking. In fact, that was one of the reasons I liked the piece. So this nun, like, gave me a really low score and then wrote a note on the score sheet, something like, I think it's really inappropriate for you to be promoting alcohol consumption. And I'm like, you've completely fucking missed the point, you stupid nun! Ah! You know, so...
Wow.
So...
And at some point during my career in forensics, I was watching this kid do this every week, this piece he did, where it was basically the overall premise seemed to be like, I don't have a piece prepared and here's why, you know, kind of like the dog ate my homework kind of thing. But then I was watching him do this piece over and over, and every time it seemed different. And then it finally hit me. He's making it up. He's doing the thing that I'm not allowed to do, which is write your own material.
Oh, God.
This kid, it's like, and I even heard him stealing jokes from other comedians, you know, one of whom was Richard Jenny.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it was just kind of like, and I saw him get away with it and get away with it. And, you know, I never said anything because, you know, at that stage in my life, I didn't have a spine.
Yeah.
Now I have a partial spine.
Saying
so.
Something would be count as, you know, narking on them anyways, so.
Yeah. So anyway, senior year, Richard Jenny had another comedy special, his second one on Showtime, Crazy from the Heat, that's what it was called. So he had a piece in there basically talking about how, like, his real life growing up versus what the Brady Bunch depicts real life as being. And, I called the piece Eat Lunch Twice, but it was, like, him going through all this, like, descriptions of, like, you know, how perfect and everything the Brady Bunch is, and then, you know, but then, like, comparing it to his real life and his mom and how they interacted, and it was just...
Yeah.
Oh, and once again, because it was Richard Jenny and he's so freaking stellar, it just... It killed him, it slayed him, it myrtleized him. I actually won a few awards that year. And that was the first and only time they actually had a forensics meet actually at Badger High School where I went to school. I don't know why Badger never had forensics meets, what their deal was. I guess they were too busy sucking the pole of the sports departments. But, you know, it's like I finally got to perform there, and I got to be friends with, like, a couple other people from other schools, so we were kind of like a three-person set of friends, like this one girl, I can't remember her name, but I know she lived in Delavan, Wisconsin. And in fact, I went to visit her once, and that was the first time I ever saw Mystery Science Theater 3000 was, like, they had cable, and she showed me, they were watching one of the Amazing Colossal Man episodes.
Oh.
So that was my first time I ever saw was hanging out with her, yeah, on a pseudo date, I guess you could call it, but...
I think that was my first episode, too.
So basically, at the Badger High School one, there were, like, the top three trophy winners were, like, me and my two other friends there. I came in second, I think, and the girl from Delavan came in first, and it was the first time she ever got a first-place trophy.
Uh-huh.
So she, like, totally, like, freaked out and ran up and, like, gave me and the other person, like, a big two-armed hug, and she was so happy. So it was cool. So forensics was definitely an interesting and positive thing from my high school life. And I figured I'd talk about it and also use that as an excuse in this episode and possibly in future episodes to play those pieces I just mentioned so that people can hear those chunks of material that meant so much to me.
Okay.
The problem with the Richard Jenny ones is to get the versions that I like the best, the ones I actually performed, I'd have to dig out the VHS copies I have and figure out how to, you know, make that, you know... Because,
I don't think that's going to happen.
In previous incarnations of my technical setups, that would have been much easier, but now it's difficult.
Have you tried YouTubing it?
I did. I tried YouTubing one of the Richard Jenny pieces today, and I found bits of him doing stand-up, but not the specific one I wanted. So, but the Carlin one I have on CD, and the Larry Miller one I have somewhere in my computer banks, so... So one of those two I'll probably play in this episode, and then I'll get to the Richard Jenny ones later when I can figure out how to transfer them.
Okay, so let's play them.
All right, here's the thing.
If you want to be a man, you better learn to obey. Yeah.
What's Luke plugging now? What's that fumble? What's that fumble thing?
You can download Special Day by Dynamite, Superpowers by Insane Ian, The Dumbest Song on Rock Band by Devo Spice, Superpowers, Go Ballistic, Execute Bin Laden Again by Robert Lund, Serenity by the Great Luke Ski, Dress This Way by Morning Psychic, Fake It Better Grunito by Tom Smith, and Calling Dr. Phil by Steve Goody.
Yes, LukeSki.com is a thing. Art by LukeSki.com is also a thing. Dr. Demento Show, please request the song Snoopy the Dog at drdemento.com/request or something to that effect. Tour dates coming up soon. I'm going to be at Conquest in Kansas City. The website is conquestkc.org in Kansas City, Missouri, May 27th through 29th. Some new gigs booked in the past couple of weeks. One is called Lethal Poetry, Words That Kill, Return of the Geek. It is a open mic poetry and comedy omni slam that will be taking place in Chicago on June 16th from 7 to 10 p.m. Details are at lethalpoetry.com/wordsthatkill.html. I'll be headlining that event. Nerdcore rappers, the former Fat Boys, will be there performing. And whatever else happens is kind of up in the air because it's all depending on who walks in the door. It is $5 to get in, or it's free if you bring a canned good to donate to their canned good drive. So I believe if you go to that webpage right now, it probably shows the information for this month's Words That Kill Slam, because they do it every month on the third Thursday of the month. So if you go to that page and you don't see information about the Return of the Geek for this year, it'll be up soon. Anyway, you can certainly, check in with my website and with, I'll be updating info at LukeSki.com on the tour dates page. Another new gig, NerdPow 2011, NerdPow.com, NERDPOW.com. It's in Columbus, Ohio at the Hyatt downtown. That's the same place where MarCon happens. It'll be October 28th through 30th. It is a video gaming and nerdcore music expo. So I'll be performing there, as well as Dual Core, My Parents' Favorite Music, Mega Ran, The Amazing Brando, and a whole bunch of other dudes. So go check that out, nerdpow.com. I haven't been to Columbus to perform in a long time, so all you Columbus fans, this is your chance to see me, so be there. And finally, this is for 2012 in June, Deep South Con 50. The website is dsc50huntsville.com. DSC50Huntsville.com in Huntsville, Alabama, June 15th through 17th, 2012. Their special media guest of honor is Dr. Demento.
Yay!
And
I'm hoping to be able to go to that.
Yes.
I mean, not necessarily likely, but I'm hoping. I haven't seen Dr. Demento since 2004.
Yeah. he really doesn't come to the Midwest too often anymore. So if you would like to see Dr. Demento live and in person, come out to that show. Not only will I be performing there, but a bunch of other people from the FUMP will be performing there. I don't know if they've officially been announced yet or not, so I don't want to say anything and screw anything up. So,
invite me.
It's... Well, yeah. Things. If if you show up, I'm sure we can get you on stage. Because stuff, yeah. What shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
I'm wearing a light candy pink stripe thing, and it's another Hot Topic shirt. And it says, Hello Kitty loves... What does she love? Teddy bears, candy, fish, and apples.
Wow. That Hello Kitty sure likes a veritable plethora of things.
Crazy ignorant stories.
Okay, not all of these technically are ignorant or whatever, but one of my pet peeves in life is, and I, you know, once again, I'm probably being a grumpy old man. It's like if you go up to one of those kind of driving video games, and you know they have the little preview thing that's playing before you start playing it to give you an idea. This is what the game is like.
Yes.
So like you go up there and you sit there and you watch it cycle through, you know, its thing, which takes about a minute, And, you know, to me that's like enough time to decide whether or not you're going to play this game or not.
Right.
The pet peeve of mine is when small children go to sit down in these games and they just sit there and they pretend they're playing for like, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes. You know, they're
You're saying you've never done this?
Not for that long. You know, because it's like you're taking up the space when somebody who might want to actually pay to play that game, you know, could be in there, but, you know, you're... Anyway, so basically that's just kind of a precursor to me already having this pet peeve, because when I draw Ed DeBevick's, the Crazy Taxi game is directly behind me.
Oh, they have Crazy Taxi?
How many times have you seen me at Ed's? You didn't notice the Crazy Taxi game located directly behind my stand? Is that
the same as the one we were playing?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to play Crazy Taxi.
Well, then come out and you can play it.
Okay. I probably won't, but... I don't even live in Chicago anymore.
So anyway, so I'm packing up my stand, and these two little kids are there, both not playing Crazy Taxi, just sitting there, you know, no money has been put in, it's just doing its little thing, and like one's doing the steering wheel, and one's trying to do the shifter, and one's trying to do the, you know, their pedals, and they start arguing with each other over it, you know, over the game they're not actually playing. And then the mother turns and says, hey, y'all share! It's like, and my brain snapped, y'all share? They're not even fucking really playing the game! Put money in, then they can actually share! Fucking stop this! It's madness!
Can I throw in a word here?
Yes.
This is how we know Luke has no children. Because that mother was so grateful that those three kids were occupied for 5 minutes without her having to spend any money. You can't even understand. And I'm done.
But I got a kitty.
That's the same thing. Right?
You're like 12.
So, in the weird names department, a girl named Carrie, who spelled it K-A-I-R-E-E.
Yes.
K-A-I-R-E-E. Carrie.
That's
more like Kyrie.
Kyrie, yeah. Looks more like Kyrie. That's pretty horrible. As someone who keeps tracks of spellings of the name Carrie, that is definitely the first time I've ever seen that.
So at one of the post-prom gigs I did, there was, the DJ was doing like this contest, this trivia contest for the seniors so that they could win, I don't know, raffle tickets or something. I can't remember what the point of it all was, but they had like, one of the parts of the quiz was he handed out these printouts that had like 7 different Disney cartoon characters on them, and they had to name all the characters. Mm-hmm. So I I couldn't help myself. I went down to try to look at who was on the sheet, and I was able to name 9 out of the 10 correctly. The only one I got wrong was one of the kind of ancillary background dog characters from Lady and the Tramp. Okay. There was like, he was a Scotty dog, so my brain thought his name was Scotty, but apparently it was, I don't know, something else. But it made me happy. Iago was one of the ones on there, and I'm like, ha ha!
Yeah.
None of you senior motherfuckers is going to remember that one. Yeah. So that kind of made me, another part of it, and I was doing, they were doing this event while I was still drawing some people at certain points. So the guy was doing, I'm going to play a TV theme song, and then you have to guess what TV theme it is. Now, there were some that I completely never heard of which are like currently on TV, like the show Weeds, which I thought that was an odd TV show to pick for seniors in high school. Weeds.
Not really.
You know. But like, I'm drawing these kids and I'm trying to like, you know, because I'm not over in the area where they actually have to guess so they can't hear me talking. You know, I'm drawing juniors or whatever. And so like, he's like, here's the next one. And he starts playing one of the sounds. And all I heard was like a 2-note minor chord from an organ, like, just like that, like a split second of it. And so it's like, here's a song, Scooby-Doo. and then like the notes kick in, and like the kids were like, how the hell did you do that? I'm like, that is digitally encoded into my brain for life. How do I know that? Because I watched that when it was, well, I don't know if I can technically say when it was first on the air. I definitely watched it when it was first in heavy syndication and reruns in the mornings, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I got most of the TV ones right. So anyway, that wacky game was going. But here's where the ignorance part comes in. There were three teams of seniors, and they all had to pick a name for their teams. The three names they chose for their teams were the Bestest Seniors, Sexy Pants, and the Tards.
Wow. That's some stellar naming ability.
The Bestest Seniors. That's actually kind of clever. I'll give them that. The next one, Sexy Pants. It's that. I hope that's somebody's inside joke. I don't know how they arrived at that. But then, the tards. Alrighty, then.
That's like bad rapport.
Oh, come on. Think of some of the inside jokes you had when you were a kid.
Hey, I'm one of the few people who actually documented their inside jokes. I actually had lists of inside jokes.
I know. You bring them up all the time.
Luke looks hurt. You hurt his feeling.
I'm his wife.
You know, I was Facebook chatting with someone I went to high school with today, and it made me realize, I don't think you've met anybody I went to high school with. At all. I mean, not counting my family, obviously. You know.
You've met one, at least.
Of yours?
Yeah.
So, anyway, final thing from that after these two, like a boy and a girl together, and I drew the girl and I wrote her name down, then I go to the guy, it's like, what's your name? He's like, put down Goob. And I said to him, Goob? As in Michael Yagubian, the bowler hat guy? And he said, yes. So I wrote down Goob, and then I drew him with a bowler hat on his head that looked like Doris. And he was all very happy. So it's like, cool, somebody else in the world likes Meet the Robinsons as much as I do. That's fucking awesome. So there we go. That's for that. Hey, we got comments and shit. Oh, they're over there. You have them.
Okay. Comments. It's a comment.
That's from the Nerdist podcast. Oh, okay. They wanted to have a place where people could submit questions or comments, so they came up with the term Quemits.
And then they came up with the theme song, which is exactly as you just heard, only it's their voices and not ours.
And it's like twice as long, no, and they get all wacky. Just... I think that's like the worst term ever. Quemens is such a dumb term, but they've committed to it so hard that it's like, all right, that's what it is.
Yeah. At least we're not the only podcast out there that doesn't have time to like make actual jingles and just sings things.
Yeah. So
and they get $1 million.
So, Elizabeth says, I don't usually have a chance to listen to the Fump podcast. This podcast is awesome. So I am a bad rapport listener. I have submitted a couple of News of the Stupid items. So thank you, Elizabeth. And thank you for submitting news. It makes it very easy, very much easier for me.
Yes.
When people send me news items.
We like news items.
Yes.
Crazy St. Louis fangirl says, wait, you're afraid of getting hit by a ball, but you like dodgeball? Okay. So what type of exercise do you two do to go with your weight loss plan? I walk. What do you do?
I walk.
Crazy St. Louis fanboy and I have cut down on soda to cut calories, and so we understand Luke being tired. It really makes you realize how much caffeine affects you.
Okay.
No voice comments?
There are voice comments.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to cue them up.
Never mind.
Arkel says, count me among those who listens to Bad Rapport but not the Fump podcast. I've decided not to add any more podcasts to my subscription list for the time being due to the fact that I have trouble keeping up with the ones I have now. The only exception I've made so far was adding the Moral of the Story podcast, but that's because one of the hosts of that show is a real-life friend and former coworker.
Right. Thanks, Arkel. Squirrel Girl says, the music in the background for the first part of the sports segment I identified only as that song, that one song we played in band. Not to be confused with the many, many other songs with the same descriptor. I think it was part of the football-themed field show we did in marching band, so was it something relevant? It's a sports theme
song. It's the NFL theme song that you hear on Fox.
NFL theme song that you hear on Fox. See, I knew that.
She didn't know that.
Squirrel Girl goes on to say, I never liked dodgeball. Trying to avoid getting hit by things doesn't appeal to me. And trying to throw a ball with any degree of accuracy has never been a strong point either. I can relate with that.
All right. Dr. Don says, I just have to say thank you for at least trying to spare my feelings. Intermittent. That's a good word for the streaming. Shitty as all fuck is also a good way to put it. Good to see you again at the con, Luke. Sorry you weren't there, Carrie.
I think PanguCon 2012 is more likely for me than 2011 was. And I am totally going to beat you on the leaderboard, Dr. Don. Blasted Bill says, Luke, so very sorry I was not at 2 a.m. hot tub time, a.k.a. hot tub o'clock. I was asked the question many times on Sunday, and the question was sprung on me in the extra podcast time of the Toad Elevating Moment podcast. There is only one thing that would stop me from going to the hot tub at 2 a.m. Saturday night of PanguCon. That one thing happened. Need a hint? I was in my room, I was not sleeping, and I was not alone. That is all I will say for now. More news to come later. By the way, this news will probably vastly affect summer plans. Yay, Bill! Oh, we have more comments.
Yes.
Bill goes on to say, Carrie, in response to your statement about Luke claiming acknowledgement of things and ideas, I'm about 80% sure that the idea for One Night at Quark's Bar was actually mine. My recollection was that me, Luke, and Steph were at a restaurant, and the original either was playing or had just played, and Luke and I were talking about DS9, and the idea popped into my head. I sang out, and Luke said, that's awesome, I need to do that. The memory is hazy enough that I could be wrong. Either way, Luke did an awesome job on the song, and that was the important part. Perhaps, Luke, you can tell us your memories about the song as an origins of. I was in that song.
I don't remember that. I'm not saying you are wrong or a liar or anything, but I don't remember that interchange. Maybe if you gave me some more details on it, specifically where and when it happened, maybe it would spark something. But the song One Night in Bangkok was always a song that I thought it would be cool to do a parody of. So that's been kind of rattling around in my brain for many years.
Bill goes on to say, Squirrel Girl, my family goes through about 20 puzzles every winter. My mom is obsessed, but not very good. I let her and my dad get the edges and a few middle pieces done and make them try for a few days. Then I come in and finish the rest in about 2 hours. Zing. Show picture no worky on the Zoom pout. Comment way longer than intended, as always. By the way, funny ass ep and I lolled many times. Of course, several jokes were directly aimed at me. Yay! Bye and stuff.
Bill putt, 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 toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
Torpedoes!
Sample!
The Amazing Rando!
Manos, the Hands of Fate. Filmed on location in a vacant lot. Speaking of which, Adam J. Smithy says, first of all, thanks for the mention. I'm sorry the show wasn't more well assembled. It's just all of the eventualities I had planned for, a complete lack of equipment, was not one of them. Next time, I'll at the very least bring a boombox with an audio input so we can fake us some speakers if we need to. As far as the riffing, you were awesome and we appreciated the help. I wasn't sure if we were going to encourage crowd riffs beforehand, but one of our riffers had a panic attack and ran away. And while I had a lot of my own riffs planned beforehand, but it turns out most of my jokes were riffs on the bad dialogue, so without speakers, they were sort of lost on everyone. Also, Korea.
Korea?
Remember when I said the one that isn't Japan? Korea!
Okay. Captain Nova says, The movie was from South Korea. Audio setup could be better. As for myself, I'm going to have a Luke Ski moment. I started a video podcast called The Radical Geek. The address is radicalgeek.wordpress.com. Did some shots from PenguinCon with an interview with Tom Smith.
Yay!
Bar One Scorpio says...
Erg.
I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean.
Probably erg.
Erg. You probably already recorded episode 41. Nope, we're recording it right now. Ha-ha! But... Krav Maga is an Israeli martial art form. More on that later. 10-to-1 sounds like a Douglas Adams character. Like she was conceived in a queue at Fenchurch Station. Please don't talk about what video games you're playing anymore. I avoid 99% of video game / nerding podcasts for that exact reason. Well, if you don't like hearing people talk about video games, of course you're not going to listen to a podcast about video games. Okay. It's like... I don't like sports. That's why I don't watch any of those sports shows.
I don't think we go through that many video games that we're going to keep bringing it up over and over and over. But,
yeah.
You know, a year from now, we'll probably touch base again and see what video games are playing by then.
Our podcast, primarily fixates upon what you and I are up to. And if what you or I are up to is being into a video game that we really like a lot, we're going to, most likely mention
pretty much.
It. So... You know, we can't... We promise nothing. and then he goes on to say, I kind of like that Smithy thing Saturday night. Was I at least something to do in lieu of the dance that was not? Oh, I think he means, it was at least something to do in lieu of the dance that was not.
Yeah.
So, would you say that Galloping Ghost is an arcade gaming shrine? Yes, I would say exactly that Galloping Ghost is an arcade gaming shrine. It's... freaking awesome, and I can't wait to
find the time
to get back there.
He likes us talking about Galloping Ghosts, but he doesn't like us talking about the video games we're playing.
I don't know.
Brain just broke.
Maybe he doesn't want spoilers for games that have plot lines.
Oh, we have three voicemails.
Ooh. Hey! Now we have to play them. Let's see if these work.
This show's going to be longer than an hour after all.
Hey, Luke and Carrie, it's Arkel. Regarding the latest show, I just need to correct a pronunciation. It's actually called Krav Maga, and it's a form of martial arts. It is the martial art of choice for the Israeli military. It's what they use for their hand-to-hand combat training. That's not the reason I chose it. actually, I chose it for a rather complicated reason that would take too long to explain because the phone call would get out on me. But, that's pretty much what it's most known for, is being the martial art of choice of the Israeli military. And, I considered, Brazilian jiu-jitsu or kung fu, but a lot of podcasters I know are already doing those, and I don't want to be accused of being a copycat. Oh, actually, it didn't take me that long to explain it at all. So, yeah, that's why I went with Krav Maga. But, yeah. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Krav Maga is my favorite Klingon dish. It's so tasty, especially when you eat it live, so it's like wriggling on the plate.
Krav Maga is the name of my cover band.
That was less enthusiastic than the duck.
Yeah, quack.
Quack. All right, and now another message.
Hello, Luke and Gary. This is Big and Tasty. I've left comments on iTunes. I've liked you on Facebook. I submitted on the Fump. I have now style purchased your Best of CD. I'm finally leaving a message. Sheldon's Fight is my favorite Luke song, and Jabba Jive is my favorite Gary song.
Yeah.
I should point out, though, that the Scud song you have out is a little flawed, only in the fact that the Omnibus isn't actually called Omnibus, but rather called the whole shebang. I just point that out for anyone who's actually searching for it and not finding it. Thanks. Love the show. Bye.
Thanks, Big and Tasty, whose name was written down as, in Luke's handwriting as Bacon Tasty. It's well. Big and Tasty.
But I like Bacon Tasty better.
I know, but that's not what it is.
We will name our cat Bacon Tasty.
No, we won't.
And I'd like to point out that at the time when the Scud song contest, video contest was happening, and when the book came out, the word omnibus was all over the advertising for it. So, and I'm pretty sure at the end of my video, I specifically say that the title of the book is the whole shebang and everything. So it's not that I didn't know that the book was called The Whole Shebang. It's just that omnibus was the word being used in all the ads that were going out at the time. And it is an accurate term. You know, omnibus is a term used for all kinds of big, thick, anthology-type graphic novels for
it's
every
a noun.
Genre. So, yeah.
Speaking of comics, I really got to check out more of the webcomic Axe Cop. Did you hear them talking about it on Paul and Storm?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so fucking hilarious.
Are they doing a print book of that?
They already have some sort of print version.
Cool. Well, we got one more voice comment, so here it is.
Hey, Luke and Terry, thought you'd like to know... Thought you'd like to know there's going to be another Red Dwarf series that'll be coming out next year. Later.
Yes.
Yep, I heard about that. Thanks... Thanks, Draconis.
Yes, it will be sometime in 2012. So, yeah.
We were viewing Red Dwarf earlier today.
Yes, because I enjoy viewing things while I eat food.
Me too.
So, anyway, I didn't check iTunes for reviews, so I fail.
We probably haven't had a new one in a month, at least.
So, anyway, thank you very much to Draconis and Arkle and... Bacon Tasty.
Big and tasty. Big. Big. You know,
some
like Tom Hanks.
Some people have Freudian slips. Luke just says bacon in front of everything.
Luke has bacony slips.
That's like a new, like, fruit by the foot thing, except it's bacon. Bacony slips.
Yes.
Anyway. So yeah, you can make comments for the show at badrapport.com, BADRAPPORT.com. You can also leave us messages at 916-LUKESKEY. That's
916-585-3754. Here's the enthusiastic ending of the show.
Oh my God.
Enthusiasm.
And now we're going to play another song.
We're awake and alive and fully caffeinated.
Yay.
Or pretending to be.
So until next time.
Hey, this was the first violence-free episode.
Yeah. Ah, ow.
I lied.
Okay. Bye.
Take one more shot. Sure.
So sad.
This is the rise up to victory for pre-victory speech chords. We're gonna fight this buzz. We're gonna fight the hell out of it. They will know that when we defeat the buzz, they will know Pasta Moscow is here. Children will scream our names. Children will be named. Nathan, Jared, JJ,
that was awesome.
There will be blood. Let's go get those vaginas.
Ah, the wise and old veteran.
Vaginas for America. All right.
Are we recording?
Yes.
Oops. Okay.
In Santa Teresa, New Mexico, it wasn't drugs or human trafficking, but illegal baloney that caught the attention of border agents at a New Mexico porn... porn of entry?
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Can it just be stranger? Can you please just make it stranger? Just stranger. Odder. Could it be weirder? More bizarre. How about uncanny?
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.